Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church, where this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians, meets each week. On Sunday mornings here, we together create a space where each of us can connect. Connect with ourselves, connect with one another, and connect with that which we hold to be of ultimate worth. It's good, I think, to make a time and a place where we can pause for a while and reflect. With music and silence, words and thoughts, each following our own individual version of the human life story, yet sharing the journey and the insights we are gaining. Ours is a community created by all who walk through our doors. And we bid a special welcome to visitors joining us here this morning. So let's take a moment now to take a conscious breath, to check how we are right now, to remind ourselves that it's okay to be who we are and how we are, for this is a place where we can be who we are and feel what we feel. Jacob Trapp writes that if it is language that makes us human, one half of language is to listen. Silence can exist without speech, but speech cannot exist without silence. In the hour ahead, my hope is that each of us will find a way to deeper understanding of ourselves, of one another, and of this complex world in which we live, that we will experience something understood. And so today, as our chalice flame shines brightly, reminding us of our liberal religious community the world over, reminding us that our lives can also shine brightly when we dare to communicate deeply and fully, when we clear the chaos and the clutter and allow ourselves and one another simply to be. Do you remember, I wonder, the biblical story of the Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel seemingly did exist. It was a seven-stage ziggurat, a sort of stepped pyramid with a temple to the god Marduk at the top. It was built in the city of Babylon sometime during the 6th or 7th century BC. The biblical story of the Tower of Babel tells of a time when the people of the world spoke one language, used the same words. These wandering people settled in a land, and they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks, and let's build ourselves a city and a tower, with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves." Then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that these people had made. And the Lord said, though who or what he was talking to, nobody knows, "Look, they are one people with one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will no longer understand one another's speech." And the Lord scattered the people over the face of the earth and confused their language, and they stopped building the tower and the city. It fascinates me that there are remarkably similar stories told elsewhere around the world about the origin of language. And one that is particularly striking is told by the Choctaw Indians of North America. Now, they themselves are a people, as you may know, with a fascinating history. They're known for their kindness to the white settlers who arrived in their land. They were later forcibly moved from that land in what became known as the Trail of Tears. Then, only a few years after that, those that remained had settled elsewhere, and they heard of the Irish people's great suffering during the potato famine of 1847, and they made a collection of $170 to send to Ireland, a vast sum of money in those days. And it's the Choctaw Indians that tell of the first people's arrival upon a stony plain, and how they started to build walls and dwellings rather than living in teepees. The people of that of the earth at that time spoke just one language, and all peoples understood one another as one tribe, one family. One night the Great Spirit came as a mighty wind and blew upon the stones, as if they were tumbleweeds, and they rolled far across the plain. When the people awoke in the morning, they found that the stones with which they were building had been blown far and wide, and that they could no longer understand one another. They no longer had a shared language. Sadly, the people wandered off across the plains, following the stones that the Great Spirit had spread across the land. And ever after, they lived in separate tribes, each with their own language, unable to understand one another. A time of prayer. Spirit of life and love, shining within each of us, be here with us now. Illuminate this, our time of worship, and may insight and clarity shine through us, brightening our spirits and those all around us. We pray, though we may not feel sure who or what we are praying to. Some speak of God and King, or the great mystery, of the goddess, or the divine. Some of us cannot put a name to something so vast and unknowable. Let us not be put off by this inability to name the nameless. Let us be able, in quiet moments such as this, to allow ourselves the time to reflect, to allow ourselves chance to relate with something that is greater than ourselves, to relate with something that encourages us to be the best that we can possibly be, and to make the most of this gift of life we have been given. In quiet moments such as this, we can perhaps be honest about our own confusions and uncertainties, the frightened, wounded places within us. In stillness, let us think of ourselves with love. In quiet moments such as this, we can remember those who we are perhaps finding hard to understand, those who perhaps confuse or even irritate us. Let us think of them with love. And in quiet moments such as this, we can send our loving thoughts and prayers to people and places in need the world over. And may the divine light that shines throughout the universe shine now on all those in need. And may each of us find a way to bring greater understanding to our little part of the world, this day and all days. Amen. Our order of service now says spiritual practice, pet the lizard. And it comes from Rick Hansen. Rick Hansen is a psychologist in the States who has dedicated himself to the science of well-being and to teaching people how our brains work, and through understanding that, then being able to live our lives more effectively. He sends out regular emails called Just One Thing, where he teaches a simple technique for us all to practice. And in this one, called Petting the Lizard, he reminds us that our emotional responses to life, those quickly reactive bits of us, which possibly you know, I'm certainly aware of them in myself, those reactive bits of us that get anxious or afraid or defensive, he tells us that they are coming from an ancient part of our brain, the brain stem, the reptilian part of the brain it's sometimes described as. And that part of the brain is designed to avoid harm to us, that is. And that part of the brain does not change easily. So I'm quoting from this email of his now. Consequently, if you want to help yourself feel less concerned, uneasy, nervous, anxious, or traumatized, feelings and reactions that are highly affected by reptilian brainstem-related processes, then you need many, many repetitions of feeling safe, protected, and at ease in order to leave lasting traces in the brainstem and the limbic system structures that produce the first emotion, the most primal one of all, which is, of course, fear. Or, to put it a little differently, he writes, your inner iguana needs a lot of petting. He writes, I found it helps me to appreciate how scared that little lizard inside each one of us is. Lizards and early mammals emerging about 200 million years ago, the ones that were not continually uneasy and vigilant, would fail the first test of life in the wild. Eat lunch, don't be lunch today. So be aware of the ongoing background trickle of anxiety in your mind, that subtle guarding and bracing with people and events as you move through your day. Then again and again, try to relax. Remind yourself that you are actually all right now, and send soothing and calming down into the most ancient layers of your mind. He also suggests that we soothe our own bodies, because most of the signals coming into the brain originate inside the body, not from out there in the world. Therefore, as our body settles down, that sends feedback up into our brain that all is well, or at least not too bad. So he suggests classic soothing methods, taking a deep breath, noticing that we are actually okay, letting go of tension and anxiety as you exhale, etc., etc. Throughout, he says, keep taking in the good of these many moments of petting your inner lizard, and keep repeating them throughout the day. Some have likened the mind-stroke-brain to a kind of committee. Frankly, I think it's more like a jungle. We can't get rid of the critters in there. They're hardwired into the brain. But we can tame and guide them. Then we can start to relax, like a lizard at ease in the sun. In ministerial training, you learn that there are many sources of inspiration for sermons and addresses such as this. There are the holy texts of the world's great religions. There are inspirational writings from mystics and sages the world over. There are words of hymns to explore, not to mention important aspects of our Unitarian faith and history. But I also learnt that if all else fails in your search for inspiration, nip into a seaside gift shop and pick up one of those sweet little fridge magnets that hold eternal truths for humanity. You perhaps know the ones. And here are some such pearls of wisdom found by a ministerial colleague in a Torquay gift shop. I know you believe that you understand what you think I said, but I am not sure you realise that what you heard is not what I meant. Now, doesn't that just perfectly express the challenges that we humans experience in attempting to communicate with one another? We have a thought in our head. We attempt to put it into words. We hope that the other person is listening. There are some clues to that. They hopefully have their eyes open, they're not snoring, just like all of you at this moment, alert, hanging on every word. We might check that they haven't got their fingers in their ears. But how can we ever know what another person is actually hearing or how they interpret what we're saying? Someone I know works for a mediation service in Sheffield and regularly sets up mediations between neighbours who are in dispute with one another. The process that they use sounds tortuously slow at times as they work to encourage people to listen to one another. The people who are in dispute take it in turns to speak and to say how the situation is for them. And after each person has spoken, the other has to repeat it, starting with the words, "What I think I heard you say is dot, 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 dot." And so it goes on as a process, back and forwards, until people have truly heard and understood one another. Communication between human beings can go so very wrong so very quickly, can't it? How easy it is for us to misunderstand one another, sometimes bringing pain and distress, sometimes bringing humour and delight. I had several holidays abroad with my one-time partner, Neil, and from each we would come back with stories of Neil's enthusiasm for speaking foreign languages. On a holiday in Greece, he grappled determinedly with the Greek language, reaching peaks, I think, of linguistic prowess on a day walking alone in the hills. He came back saying how friendly everyone had been to him, how in fact they'd laughed heartily and clapped him on the back when he'd said good morning to them in Greek. Now, the Greek word for good morning, as you perhaps know, is kalimera, but when I asked Neil what he had been saying to the Greeks he met that day, he'd been saying kalimari, which means squid. No wonder the Greeks had been laughing at this cheery Englishman with a sunburnt nose who had been walking around saying squid to each and every person he met. And the tale has a final twist to it, explained to me a few years later by a colleague who'd spent many years working in Greece. He laughed when I told him the squid story, and he explained that many English tourists confuse kalimera and kalimari. So many that the Greeks have a standard way of responding. When the English say squid, the Greeks reply with an equally cheery greeting of lobster. And both parties go home happy. And though the words were nonsense, I think something was understood in these encounters. One human being attempting to greet another warmly and being greeted in return. Now, on your hymn sheet today, there is a poem written by the 17th century metaphysical poet George Herbert called Prayer. And we've printed it in its original spelling. Herbert was a deeply devout man who gave up a career in government to be an Anglican priest and poet. As one of the so-called metaphysical poets, he explored deep issues in his work, often about the relationship of humanity to the divine. Don't be put off by this poem's complex and contradictory imagery, which indeed some people will be writing essays about for years to come, no doubt. Focused instead, perhaps, on the comfort of its closing two words. Something understood. Church bells beyond the stars heard. The soul's blood, the land of spices. Something understood. To George Herbert, the act of prayer is a path to deeper understanding on many levels and in many directions. I've heard the art of writing poetry itself described as a path that is seeking greater understanding. Understanding oneself, understanding others, understanding life and the world. At the end of today's service, Benji is going to play Acca Bilk's famous tune, Stranger on the Shore, which apparently is the greatest selling instrumental tune of all time. That's a little fact for us today. Perhaps as he is playing, you might choose to ponder the suggestions which are above that George Herbert prayer on this sheet here. We invite you to think of times when I understood something about myself. Times when I understood something about another person. Times when I felt understood by another. Times when I understood something about the world and about life itself. I think these moments of insight are some of the very precious moments of life. The stories that we heard earlier on of the Tower of Babel and the Choctaw Indian stones blown across the Great Plains, those stories contain one of humanity's truths, that understanding is not always easy for us, and yet don't we then all the more yearn for it? When the people are scattered and no longer understand one another, they are saddened. Whether we speak in different languages or with the same tongue, we yearn for understanding, and we struggle, don't we, to understand one another. And we struggle to understand ourselves too, and we struggle to understand life, just what it's all about, if anything. And when we do feel understood, when we do understand another, it's a marvellous feeling. It's like a weight lifted from the shoulders. We can rest more easily. Rick Hansen, the psychologist who wrote about petting our own inner lizard, that ancient reactive part of our brain that is so quick to experience fear and anxiety and hostility as a way to survive. Rick Hansen would explain to us that when we reach a sense of something understood, we have activated the most advanced part of the human brain, the cortex. This part of the brain allows us to feel connected, attached, part of something greater than ourselves. And communication is a vital part of understanding, be that communicating fully with ourselves or with others. It takes bravery and constant effort to keep channels of communication open, to keep dismantling walls of fear and confusion, misunderstanding and negativity. It helps, I think, to hold on to inspiring spiritual messages that remind us that beyond our differences and our anxieties, we are all indeed one people, one common humanity, sharing one life on one planet. And to that end, I will close with this prayer that we may all become tireless communicators, people who build bridges across divides, people who tear down walls of confusion and suspicion, creating instead connections of love and warmth and kindness that cradle humanity and melt all hearts for the greater good of all beings. Amen. There is always more to understand in life. There is always more to explore. In the week ahead, may we find ever more ways to reach out to others and ever more ways to reach inwardly to ourselves. May we be curious explorers of what it is to be human, strangers on this shore of life, sharing the journeys of our lives. Amen. Go well and blessed be.